It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the France. So we're continuing with France. Tonight. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport, Mass.
HaberHill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery, New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93 is the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebock Winery, we are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Flathead Lake Winery, and we're located at Crusher Park in Montana.
Mammoth Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
Yeah, well, they're indoors.
Whenever they get inside and it's pouring down rain outside, it's always a good thing. So, All right. Well, this is good. And I didn't realize that the beginning few seconds are actually recorded on the archives. When I was listening to the replay, I heard a little bit of the So shh.
So once we go live, we are live.
Yeah, when she says you're on air, that's on air. Even though you don't hear the music, I always thought it started when the music played, but no, it starts actually when she says you're on air. So, interesting. Yeah, one of those things. So
watch our little chit-chat there before it goes live.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We have to stop singing right before when she says your show will go live. So.
That's true. That's
anyway.
True.
So, I'm Mike, and okay, and Ron is here, so Ron, there you go. I see how they are.
You've invited them in and gave them shelter,
yes.
So I'm sure.
Yes, they will all be going back outside for booing me. There you go. All right, we are, Let's get this started here. We have a guest tonight, and do you have any announcements before? You want me to go ahead and get our guest?
No, go ahead and get the guest. We'll get Tom on. We'll talk to Tom, and somebody says we have Tom Day from Hummingbird Ridge Winery going to be joining us tonight. Should be fun and interesting. Tom is an inventor. Everyone's telling me that he's quite the inventor. He doesn't want to spend the outrageous price that places charge for the stuff that says winery or wine supplies, and so he has invented stuff himself to make it cheaper. So we'll talk to him about that and see what he says about all that. And let's see if he's going to be on here in just a second. Mike went out to get him. We had a little discussion last week. I don't know if you heard it all the way through to the end. Toward the end of the program, I gave some real estate for wines. If you've heard that, then you want to buy a winery or an area that has it, get in touch with me. You can either call us or email us or Facebook us or any number of ways to get in touch with us, and I'll give you the contact information for the wineries. Okay. Looks like we have Tom's in hold now. Let's go ahead and bring him on the air and and we'll start talking with him. Hello, Tom. Welcome to joining us tonight.
Thank you.
I've heard stories about you already.
Okay.
From colleagues in the area there and stuff like that, and they said that you have to get on the show because you have invented a lot of the stuff. They said that you just won't spend the outrageous price that some of the places charge for stuff that is winery located, simply or winery. I lost my word there, but you don't want to pay the outrageous price that they do because it says winery on it, and so you've invented your own stuff. So what is it that you've invented?
Well, some of the stuff I pretty much just invent as I go. You can go out and buy everything, but for instance, a bottle washer, you could spend like $5,000 on a bottle washer, or you could go to we have up here Harbor Freight and buy some small dollar pumps and some sprayers, and if you just think about it a little bit, you can spray that water up in the bottle and it works just the same. You don't have to be fancy about stuff.
That's very true. Talking to Jason last week, you know Jason, the attorney.
Yes.
He said to be sure to ask you about cooking salmon on the hood of your truck.
Well, wow, that's getting a little off of the winery business.
But he asked me to ask you about that.
Well, sure. It's just another thing you adapt, and I didn't have a smoker at the time, so I just took a cardboard box and some old dryer vent hose and hooked it up to a grill, and that way the cold smoke was there, and then my truck just happened to be higher than the smoker, so it just made sense to me to put it up there, and it turned out excellent, actually.
sounds like it would. Hummingbird Ridge Winery. Tell us the story of Hummingbird Ridge Winery, how it became to be and started and all that.
Well, I started out just making wine for my friends, and of course I got more friends as the wine got better, and entered an amateur wine contest, and actually got a bronze medal, and things started clicking, and my friends started saying, these wines are pretty good, maybe you ought to start thinking about going on the stuff. And started it's a long process to get a winery. A lot of paperwork.
Oh, yeah.
Everything went pretty good. And, well.
The rest, as they say, is history.
Now. Yeah.
When did you open?
I've been open about 2.5 years now.
Oh. So you are still rather young then.
Yes. And it's funny, because I said it started out as an amateur wine contest, and now I have to enter contests with the big guys.
Ah.
And I'm still that little guy. It's funny to me. They won't let me go to those other contests anymore.
But you can't be an amateur.
Still winning medals with the big guys. Last one, I think, was 23 countries entered. I'm bragging there, but...
You have a right to.
But the little guy that was an amateur is just competing with those guys. It's funny.
Well, congratulations on those awards. While we're talking about wine, tell us about all of your wines and each of them and all that.
Each of them? Well, in our area, Pennsylvania... Central Pennsylvania, we kind of cater towards a sweeter palate. Our award-winning wine was an apple wine made in Pennsylvania, or the apples were grown in Pennsylvania. Diamond Vidal Blanc. I source my grapes in from other wineries. Right now I'm a smaller winery, but the theory is to if you grow your own grape, that you have to use that grape, no matter if it's a watery grape, the season's rain, or dry. This way I can go out and pick the best juice and make the best wine out of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm a winemaker. I'm not really a grape grower yet. I grow tomatoes pretty good, but...
And you haven't made a tomato wine?
I have made a tomato wine, yeah.
Have you? Okay.
I've made wine just about out of everything.
Yeah, it's possible, yeah.
I made a Belt wine.
I'm sorry?
I've even made a milk wine.
Milk wine?
Yeah, I read about these monks that said that you were not going to hang over if you made milk wine, and I decided to try it. And I also dabble in cheese making, and when I made this wine, usually everything, when you make wine, everything floats to the bottom, and you rack off the top and get the clearer wine. For some reason, the milk came to the top, and it reminded me of the curds when I make cheese. So I carved that up. I put it in my press, and I pressed that out and put it in my refrigerator. And a month later, I served it to my friends. Again, my friends are always the testers. And it really came out like a port wine cheese. It was much better than the wine was, the cheese.
Ah.
But the wine wasn't so bad. The wine was like nutty flavored, and I still have some from like 6 years ago to try. I've been aging it for a little bit to see what happens. But the cheese is really, really good.
But the milk wine, did you get fresh milk, or did you just go down to the store and get some pasteurized? And?
Yeah, I just went into the store and got some milk. Like I said, I experiment and experiment with everything. You can make wine out of everything.
You can, anything. A little bit of yeast, a little bit of sugar, and you can ferment.
I never tried a 2x4 yet.
No. Thank you. On behalf of America, thank you.
Some pine overtones, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, 2x4, I don't know. I'm looking at your wine list here. Your dry, semi-dry Riesling, is that, where do you get your Riesling grapes?
New York.
New York, do you? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Riesling.
They grow some really, really good stuff up there.
Yes, they do. And they go a fantastic Riesling. I mean, that really could be the New York signature grape if they pursue it.
Yeah, it might already be.
Yeah. There's just not enough wineries doing it, though. Everybody should be doing it, I think. Your Hummingbird White, what is that made from?
That's a Cayuga grape.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. And how about the Hummingbird Red?
The Hummingbird Red is a Deschonic.
Oh.
Deschonic. Usually people take that grape and blend it with other wines.
Right.
Bring the acidities or the flavors out. But Hummingbird found it, it just makes a really nice table wine all by itself. So they put it out there, and everybody just really likes it.
Is it dry, or what's your residual sugar?
It's zero. Zero
is
residual.
It? No.
Well, sometimes we might put a little bit of Concord in it just to maybe bring it, but I still call it zero residual sugars. It's got just a nice little body, to it for a table wine.
Huh. How about your Wildflower White? What is that grape?
That Wildflower White is a vignole grape.
Wow.
And it's got a little bit of some pineapple overtones in it. I was just kidding with my buddy about making pineapple wine. I was doing some testings on the wines today, and we were thinking maybe, since we're doing an apple wine, maybe looking into a pineapple wine. Why not?
Yeah, you can grow your own pineapples. Just put them in the building there and just grow your own pineapples.
You think that might work? You might have a better chance down there.
Yeah, well, I do. I grow pineapples out on my back porch. I do. I grow pineapples on my back porch. I just started out. A customer came into the winery and said, and we were talking about it, and so they brought me a pineapple that was already started. A plant that was already started, and from that I've grown four pineapples off of that one, and I've taken the tops off of those and started other plants, and I've grown a couple more on that. So just sitting on the back porch.
Yeah, I don't think they would grow well up here.
And I think the winter might be a little harsh on them. That's the thing you have to worry about.
I got some green beans on my back porch, but not pineapples.
Yeah. Well, that's what else is back porch good for but growing plants. Your Ruby Elixir.
Ruby Elixir is made with a Concord grape. Concord was, it's still one of my favorite grapes to work with. It's the one that started me off in the business with the award. And the reason I like it so much is I've been to so many wineries where they'll tell you all about their great wines and their great grapes, and then they'll be at the end of it and say, and this is our Concord, tastes just like grape juice.
Yeah.
But everybody that tastes the Concord always reflects back to their childhood and about the grapes they see as a kid, and they always say that. I remember being a kid and drinking this eating this grape, and I don't know why it's just downplayed so much, and I think it's just a great grape to work with and to blend with.
And it's an easy grape to grow, and it's cold hardy, and it's just overall.
Right.
Yeah, there's lots of pluses for the Concord. And it does taste just like a grape popped in your mouth.
It sure does. But there's so many, you can get strawberry out of it. You can get so many other flavors to add with that Concord without even doing anything. It just comes right out of the grape.
Oh, wow.
It's really interesting.
The Sweet Dreams, what is that from?
Sweet Dreams is a Niagara grape.
Niagara also, yeah.
Yes.
And then the Celebration Blush, what is...
Celebration Blush was a Vidal Blanc, Riesling, and a Concord.
Wow.
It was a blend of, not enough to do a lot with of all the other ones, and it just blended together. And when it blended together in one little cup, before it all went into it, everybody's like, wow, this really tastes good. Because we all drink out of the same cup when we're testing. Well, my friends always come over and help out with that stuff. And when everybody went wow, then all those barrels went into one and made that. And after it bottled, it just shot out the window. Being Hummingbird Ridge Winery, I like to say it just flew out the doors.
Flew out the window. Out the door.
So, and it did. And actually, my mom, I was just at my mom's house. Yesterday, my uncle and cousins come over, and she had kept a bottle. I didn't know that. And she goes, you have to go back and get some more of this. I'm like, Mom, I'm sold out of this stuff. So it just it flew out the door.
Yeah, always
it's
say something for
your mom. I guess I might call them accidents, but they're not accidents. It's just funny how when friends get together and just things work out.
Yeah, that's true. Your Porto Vino and your Porto Blanco, those both port, your red and the white. What do you use on those?
Porto Vino is the Shawnak mostly, blended with a premium brandy that's fortified with a brandy, I should say. And the Porto Vino is, you're not allowed to call a wine or a port. You're not allowed to call it a port because it's not from Portugal.
Right.
So,
as of 2006.
So I say it's Porto Vino. It's since I have Italian in me a little bit. So it's Porto Vino, pour the wine.
Uh-huh.
So it's just a little catch on the...
Yeah. So the Porto Blanco is pour the white?
Porto Blanco. Blanco is white in Spanish. So it's made with a Riesling. And the same brandies that we use for to fortify it. And it's kind of funny sitting around with friends and looking at the recipe for the vino. And somebody just said, what would happen if, you did that? And we all, looked at each other stupid and said, wow, this is really good. So, the mainstay now at the winery, the Porto Blanco. Everybody wants it.
What's your residual sugar on your Porto Vino and Porto Blanco?
Wow, the residual sugar is residual sugars on the ports, maybe 3, 3.5 at the most.
Really low then for ports. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's surprising. I make a strawberry port and mine's like 6.
6?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, with the residual sugars, you know, it doesn't matter how much sugar is in it. It just, the sugar brings out the body. So you just keep adding sugar till you get that right click. So, because your 6 might taste as sweet as my 3.
That's very possible, too, yeah. What is your alcohol levels on your 2 ports there?
On the ports, right around 17%.
Oh, so it's a tad bit low for ports, too, on that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's another thing with the blendings and all that stuff. You try to get, you want to have the alcohol in it, of course, but you don't want to taste the alcohol.
Right.
So you just get it right up to that point where it all just blends together. Right?
Yeah. You mentioned that you got your paperwork and all that done to the state, and it took you forever on it. How do you feel about the state government? We've heard stories about Pennsylvania, but state and federal governments as far as treating wineries. What's your opinions of them?
As far as the state and federal, I don't know. As far as the people that I worked with the state and federal, they were very helpful. And I was afraid of them when I first started into it, but the more I got to know them, the more I realized that they wanted me to have the business. So they were really helpful and just told me, you know, call anytime you need anything. And so, you know, they weren't out to get me, like people might think. But, you know, there's a lot of rules and regulations that you have to, just like anything. But as far as the way they helped and treated me, they were great.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. That's because you hear so many horror stories.
About
government and all that stuff. So that's good to know that there are those out there that are doing what they can. Are you participating in the big festival this weekend at the Dauphin County Wine Tasting?
Wine Tasting.
At Hershey Park?
Yes. I just had to check my schedule. I'm actually working at I'm working at my winery and they're at the same time. So.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, how far are you from Hershey Park, your winery?
Hershey Park's maybe a half hour.
Oh, that's all. Oh wow.
Yeah, so I can get back and forth.
So it's right down the street. Do you use stainless steel or plastic or? A lot of oak, or what are you fermenting in?
I use plastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the traditional way to oak, if you're going to oak, would be to put in an oak barrel. But when I oak, I use staves, just like oak. And I hate to say this, an oak stick.
Yeah, but that's what it is. And it's, yeah.
Yeah. So you put it down in your wine, and when it's done oaking, or when you think it's, because it's still going to process that oak after, you know, after you pull them out, but when you think it's there, then you pull it out, and then the oaking's done. And the nice thing about it is cleanliness in the winery business is everything. You have to be clean. So the less time you have to transfer your wine from barrel to barrel,
right,
the better. So instead of taking the wine out of the oak, we take the oak out of the wine.
Wow, that's a good way to approach it, yeah. You say you use plastic. You have big tanks or mostly just a bunch of small ones, or what are you using?
I started out in just 50-gallon drums, but I'm up to about 500-gallon drums.
Wow.
So, and the only difference in the winemaking is cleaning. I'd rather clean a 500-gallon drum than a 50-gallon drum, or or 10 of those 50-gallon drums. So,
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
It's much easier to get a big one than it is a bunch of small ones. You're absolutely right. I understand you also, someone mentioned to me as we were talking that you invented a corking machine.
It used to be a hand cork machine where you just push down on it, and I just put some pneumatics on it, and then you could just put your air compressor on and hit a switch and drive the cork home. It's funny because one of my friends was washing bottles. She was like, Tommy, you got to come wash bottles. And I'm like, why? She goes, because every time you go to a different station, you invent something to make everything easier. So that's when I got to wash bottles. So I went over there and I built a bottle washer. And it just, from there to the labeler that I built, was just it would have cost me probably $2,000 to build a labeler. And I started looking at it, and it probably took me about 2 hours of thinking, and I pulled my pickup truck out, put the gate down, and put my saw on the back, and I cut up some baseboard that I was going to put in my house, and I cut up some, I had my disposable razors that I thought would make good guides, and some rubber bands, a clipboard, and I took the crank off my pasta maker, the hand crank. And I built this labeler that's labeled thousands of bottles that would have cost me $2,000 easy. And it might have cost me a dollar or two, and I could still take the crank off and use it for my pasta maker. And I'm still using it.
All right. Very good. That sounds great. I need a label maker. Can I order them?
I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I can send you a picture and show you how to build one.
All right, that sounds fair. I'm still putting on all my labels by hand, which starts to get very old very quickly. So.
Oh my gosh, yes. Well, that inspired me too.
Yeah. But and $2,000. If you can find a label maker for $2,000, that's extremely cheap. You'd be lucky if you can find them much less than $5,000 or $6,000 now.
Yeah, it is. It's something, but it's that's part of my fun is just making the jobs easier and impressing my friends. It's fun too.
Well, maybe you should put the impressed friends first then. Look what
well,
I did.
After a couple glasses of wine, it's pretty easy to impress them.
Real easy to impress them then, huh? I notice a whole bunch of recipes that you have on your website here. Are those personal ones, or are those ones you found other places, or are you a cook, or what's the word here?
I am a cook. Here's the thing. When everybody comes over, I'm cooking.
Ah, okay.
Or when they invite me over to their house, I'm cooking.
You're the cook.
The recipes are pretty much, they're inspired through friends too, as this tastes good or that tastes good, and you just got a lot of friends. With a winery, pretty much everybody comes into your winery turns out to be your friend.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a really neat endeavor, I guess. But, yes, I cook.
Yeah. So all these recipes are ones that you have tried and tested, and they're good then?
Tried and tested on my friends.
Oh, okay. And none of them died, so they must be all right.
Right.
Yeah. Wine and chocolate cupcakes. That looks interesting, too. And chocolate wine topping. Oh, these are some interesting ones. Anyone out there, get on the website. You need to check out the recipes. Those look like great recipes. The wine, blues, and chili event that you do, is that an annual thing?
This year will be the first.
Yeah.
I'm a musician at heart also.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, jack of all trades, I guess.
What do you play?
I started out in drums. Then they made me play bass, guitar, and then I ended up playing guitar. So whatever used to pay the bill, I don't have time to play anymore.
between cooking and inventing stuff and running a winery, you know, I can imagine. So the Wine and Blues Festival, then, this is, you say it's your first one. You're going to try to do it every year?
Yes, we'd like it to be an annual thing. I don't know. It just feels like a good project. I just like to get people introduced to the wines. I feel like a lot of people don't drink wine because they're afraid of not knowing about wines. And if we make it a fun event to drink wine, maybe they'll come out. You know, you don't have to know anything about wine except for it tastes good. If it tastes good to you, you don't have to pair it up with a meat or a fish or know if it's dry or sweet or if it has body. It tastes good.
All right. I tell people there are two types of wines in the world, the type you like and the type you don't like.
Exactly.
And that pretty well sums it up right there.
Yes, sir.
And if you find the ones you like, then, you know, go for it. Then if you don't like it, then, you know, make a note of it so you won't be buying it again. Yeah.
There was a TV program or a TV news that did an interview that came out to the winery.
Oh.
And right there on TV, they said, what would you compare this wine with as a food? And I told everybody right on TV, I said, I like mine with potato chips and peanuts. And, boy, you should have seen the jaw drop. But I just wanted to get it out there, you know. Hey, it's good. It tastes good. So don't worry about it. What is it to everybody else?
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you know, again, if you enjoy it, then have it, and that's about it.
That's right.
Mike, do you have any questions for Tom here?
Not well. Are you on a wine trail?
I'm on a couple wine trails.
Okay, because I noticed in November at least you're participating in the Mason-Dixon. Yeah, wine just off the vine event. Sounds interesting. I didn't know if you were in that or on the trail itself or what.
I'm in that, and I'm in Hershey-Harrisburg wine trail. It's just another way to get people involved with the wines, and we all get together, the wineries, and put out advertisements. It just brings people in closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty good. It looks like you all are getting pretty busy there. You got a few events in June, July, August, September. Gets real busy. Yeah, looks like you're staying pretty active. That's good. Now that was it. I was just looking at the events, and you're talking about the wines already. So yeah, very good.
Good. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had another question here, and let's see what I do with my note. I was making a couple. Here it is. Making a couple of notes here, and I was going to ask you something. So you don't have your vineyard, so most of your grapes you get from around the system, around the area there, and into New York, and that's your thing. Are you planning on doing a vineyard?
Yeah, eventually, a vineyard. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to be out there picking grapes myself, but I've been talking to local farmers about putting grapes in. For the winery.
Oh.
And being involved with them to get the local business, the local community involved. And I have the fellow that does the apples for me is really thinking about putting some Concords in this year. And been just talking about everybody. So, yeah, that looks very promising, getting the community involved with that. It'll help everybody out.
Yeah, get something going on that. Are you looking at any particular type grapes? You're just going to leave it up to the people you're talking to?
Well, it'll pretty much be the grapes that the soil will allow, I guess. You just can't put any kind of grape in anywhere. So the farmer I was talking to, about Concord grapes. But I'm sure I'll still get a lot of grapes from the Finger Lakes. They just have good stuff.
Well, you're being a Concord fan anyway, so that would work even better for you on that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Anything else you'd like to tell us about the winery, what's going on there? And if not, then...
Not really. It really wasn't what I expected it to be, the winery. I didn't realize how much people liked wine. I mean, I knew they liked wine, but it just really snowballed. And wine drinkers are just a great group of people to be around. There's, when your bottle's empty, the guy or girl beside you is going, I got more. Here, have some of mine. So it's a really good community of people to be around.
That's true. That's very true. Well, before we get off, I'd like you to give us all the information about Hummingbird Ridge Winery. Give us the location, the address, the email, the Facebook, the directions, the phone numbers, the websites, the whole bit, in case anybody out there in the listening audience or anyone on archives would like to get in touch with you.
Well, I can say info@hummingbirdridgewinery.com. If you just pretty much type in Hummingbird Ridge Winery, you'll get to us. And that pretty much will give you all the information that you'll need, all the recipes and everything, all the wines, descriptions, and everything's on that website.
Do you have a Facebook page?
We have a Facebook page.
Do you? Yeah.
But it's just type in Hummingbird Ridge Winery and Facebook. And you'll be able to see pictures of people having a lot of fun.
Yeah, great, great. And the phone number?
The phone number is area code 717-315-0209. And my name's Tom.
And he is the man with many hats, the winemaker, a cook, a musician.
Inventor.
Inventor, yes. Not forget inventor.
My dad always said I'm a jack of all trades. He said that. I'm just a little guy.
Well, great, Tom. Thank you for taking the time out and joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Okay.
And best of luck to you.
Well, thank you very much for the night.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye. All right. Nice.
There
conference.
You go. Very cool.
He's got a lot of things going on. That's probably why the winery's only open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because he's so busy doing everything else the rest of the week. He doesn't have time.
Yeah, absolutely. Got a lot of things to do. Okay.
Yeah. But a fun interview. Again, thank you, Tom, for taking the time with us tonight. And now, we still got about 20 minutes. Oh, I showed 20 minutes, but my clock is all messed up, so I really don't know how much time we've got left.
51 and a half minutes.
Okay. Mine's
on a 90-minute show. So.
Mine's on
90 minutes.
Four, So it's about, But we'll, a few things that I want to cover here that I've been not able to get to over the last few weeks, because we've had guests that have really tied up the whole program. And so I just want to talk about a few things here. Different articles that I've found recently and stuff like this, and different things I've found. The regular FYI sessions here that we throw out every once in a while. I noticed I found something here that was interesting. There is a we've talked about sake a few times, the classic Japanese wine. Now that they have out a sparkling sake, a bubbly sake, suggest that you to make a sparkling ume, had four parts of the sparkling sake with one part of a plum wine. And they said it makes for a great drink, but the sparkling sake is becoming two or three different articles I've seen about the sparkling sake out there. So that should be interesting. If you are a sake fan, which I think is an acquired taste, but you are a sake fan, then you know the sparkling sake might be something that would be interesting and fun for you. Wine labels. I'm seeing stuff all the time about new wine labels. People are coming out with a lot of different wine labels and a lot of different styles and all that. One new one I just thought that really caught my eye was by the Graziano family. It's out of Santa Barbara. It's the family vineyard in the Happy Canyon of Santa Barbara, California, opened in 2002. But they have new wine labels now that are specially designed. It's a family tree type thing with the leaves and birds around and all that. A beautiful, beautiful label. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is just random thoughts on my part here. And Mike, if you have any thoughts about it too, I'm happy to entertain your suggestion. But this says working from a dark green bottle, base dark green bottle, 750 milliliter bottle. The glass was bottle was imported from Italy. They added a metallic silk screen image of the Graziani family tree along with the existing logo. The vineyard name is sweeping across the front. It's elegant type, and a grape bunch illustration is also added to it. It says under the image is a hand affixed personally signed and numbered letter press paper label. My thought is, are labels, are bottles really, I know the labels are important, but are bottles really that important to go into that much expense to get the bottle, to get that fixed? And you're not going to absorb the cost. The wineries are not going to absorb that cost. It's going to be passed on to the customer.
Yeah.
Is the customer willing to pay the extra money for that bottle because it's so fancy? And if they do, I mean, they probably don't realize they're paying extra. Obviously, if you think about it for a second, you realize you are. But you have this real fancy bottle. You're paying a little bit more for it. The wine, obviously, is what's going to sell it. The label is a good plus, but the wine is what's going to sell it. But you're not going to save that bottle. You're not going to put it up on a shelf and save it.
Hold on a second, Mr. Wine Bottles up in his gift shelf. Not everybody may save them, but there are some people who do.
So, all right, well, that's different. No.
Right.
Well,
I mean, I guess if you pay, if it's that much of a difference, you know, where there is some kind of value just because of the label, then I don't know, I probably would hang on to it, but I probably wouldn't end up buying it in the first place.
Because it's probably cost prohibitive.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even bother with it. I was, okay, great label, whatever, put it back on the shelf and go to the next one that has a regular decent label. Now, when we did cover labels, and I think I have a quote, I don't know if I have it handy, but you did say labels have become an art form.
They have, without a doubt.
But I don't know if you were referring to like Van Gogh art form, or if they're like, you know, oh wow, that's a nice label, you know.
Well, it's a combination of both. I mean, there's some labels out there that have actually art on them. That it's actually they've commissioned artists to do it and all that. Seems like this is one of those examples.
Yeah, but are you going to pay, you know, a Picasso price for a bottle of wine that, you know, you can go to the bottle next to it that isn't priced like that and it's more affordable?
That's my question. Is it worth the expense? Is it worth the expense of the winery to come out? And like I said, this is just one example here, and I kept this one out simply because it was much more involved. I mean, the hand-fixed labels and the numbered and you know, silk screen, all that. That's a lot of work to put into a bottle. That's a lot of expense to put into a bottle.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, if – and you – wow, beautiful bottle – you buy that, and the wine is so-so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I wouldn't. There's no way. I wouldn't. If I tried it once and it was just so-so of a wine, if I tried it once, then I definitely would not be a repeat customer.
Right. You know. And
you know what?
To buy one that's going to you have to know it's going to cost you more to get this fancy bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I don't know. I just it's just the thoughts. And let me explain something to you listeners out there. What Mike said there. ever since we've been open 10.5 years now at the winery. Ever since we've been open, I have asked people to bring me a wine from a different state. Just something that I started to do because I wanted the bottle to represent every state in the nation. And I share the bottles in the class. I teach a class once a month, and I share the bottle, brown bag it. One of the things we do in the class is teach the 100-point scoring system. And then during the class, I brown bag a bottle of wine, and we score it and talk about it. And that's what the bottles have been used for over the years we've been doing it. And I've got 46 of the 50 states now. I'm only missing 4 states, and I've got them sitting up on the shelf behind the counter, behind the bar. And the 4 states I'm missing, by the way, are South Dakota, Wyoming, Louisiana, and West Virginia. But I've got all these bottles sitting up there, so when Mike mentioned, you know, saving the bottles, that's what he's referring to. I don't just get a bunch of wine bottles and save them. These have special places, okay?
Right. You do, yeah. That is a special thing there, but
it's a special thing. But I had to explain like, that because that's why I was.
Nobody collects bottles or keeps them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
There may be some people who do that.
I'm guilty of that. But there's a reason.
Yeah, I mean, there could be, you know, some of the labels out there, like these that you're talking about, you know, they could be the others out there, they, you know, worth hanging on to. I don't know. I mean, just for that particular value. You know, you drank the wine, okay, it was so-so, but, man, that label is unbelievable.
Yeah, and there was, I'm sure people remember the Marilyn Monroe series of labels. I don't recall the winery right now. I really don't. But California Winery came out with a whole series of Marilyn Monroe labels. Where depicted her from different movies and stuff like that. The whole series. I mean, there was like, I don't know, 8-10 of them that came out. This was a few years ago. And there's also been some that have had copies of Picasso work on it. And there's also been some that have had some of the French painters, you know, Renoir and Matisse and stuff like this. And you know, those are nice, but they're just prints. They're just part of the label. They've gotten authorization. Yeah. They've got it paid, and they put it on the label. But to go into this way, and even one winery in Nevada called Pahrump Ridge Winery, a great winery, great people. I've talked to them quite a few times. We've exchanged a couple of bottles of wine. But Pahrump Ridge came out with a Zinfandel, and the bottle they have this in is gorgeous. I mean, it's a very dark bottle, and it's gold mountains, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful bottle. Every time I show it to people, everybody always comments on how beautiful the bottle is. And you know that bottle costs more, and they charge quite a bit for the wine anyway, but you know there has to be a percentage of that cost going toward these bottles.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Same thing. I don't know. I guess you can say it's the same thing with vodka. Hmm. You know, it's not, vodka bottles are really a lot of them are frosted, and then the front of it you can see right through it and see the back of it. And they've got different scenes and things like this, and vodka does that. And but the price, I don't know. I'm not a big vodka drinker, but I don't know if the price reflects that also in the fact that the bottles are going to be cost more. But this is the thing. I don't know. If anybody has any thoughts out there, by all means, get in touch with us. Let us know. I mean, this is open for a discussion or debate here. Is it really worth the extra money that those bottles are going to cost?
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting point.
I really don't. I've never purchased a bottle just because of the outside of it. It's you know, to try the wine or you know, something that I've had before, you know, got to get a bottle of it, but it's the content of the inside. It's never, you know, the label swayed me to oh, that looks interesting, it must be good wine. I've never looked at it that way. I don't know. It's just
and you're right. I haven't either. But labels do catch your eye.
Yeah, well, yeah, they do.
And if it's the same price or the same type of wine as you're looking for, the same you know, same varietal that you're looking for, then maybe that might sway you to pick that one up.
If depending on the price difference, I mean,
you know, the price. Like I say, the price is makes a difference. But it's an interesting thing.
Were you talking about Marilyn Merlot or Marilyn Wines or something? There's a I found something online. They just 2011 marked the 25th anniversary of Marilyn Merlot, which is a Marilyn Monroe label on it. Just you know, just pictures of it, I guess. But they have a whole wine section with different types of wines.
That might be the one then. Yeah, they very possibly could be the one.
And they show the labels and everything, and it's they have different types on like sparkling wines. They have different names for them based on Marilyn Monroe, and they're in Oakville, California, Napa
that's
Valley area. So
that's the one. Yeah, the South Napa Valley. Yeah.
So, but everything is all their labels and different wine choices are based on Marilyn Monroe and different labels. So
And different scenes, different things that they Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. You're right. That's and you know, I mean, nice, but it's just labels. It's not etched. It's not gold plated. It's not
That's true. Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
Any of that. So all fruit essence, Lunus, however it's pronounced, out of Italy. The Lunus is produced and bottled in the birthplace of Moscato. That's in Asti, Italy, using the Moscato grapes. If you like Moscato wine, a lot of people like the sweeter wines. And those of you who think you don't like sweeter wines, quit fooling yourself. Everybody enjoys a pleasant sweet wine. The Moscato from Austin, Italy, the Lunus, or Lunes, however, L-U-N-E with a little mark above it, S, Lunus, I think, have now the Moscato wine with strawberry flavoring, with the peach flavoring, and with mango flavoring. Interesting. If you're into Moscato, a strawberry, peach, and mango, three separate ones, screw cap, they say that keeps it fresher longer. Well, that's debatable. But Lunus with the Moscato strawberry, I don't know, it just sounds good. New survey, quick just a little note here. Millennials drink more Pinot Grigio than Chardonnay. Chardonnay has been the big wine in the country. It still is the biggest seller, but the millennials, the younger kids, are drinking the Pinot Grigio. That is the wine of choice right now. Seems to be a very popular wine. And another wine out of Italy, imported by Constellation Brands in New York, is a Rufino Moscato d'Asti, and this one is a fermented wine with bubbles. You got a champagne style, a sparkling wine. Only 6% alcohol, so it's very low alcohol. So this will be good for you know, picnics and stuff like that. If you're looking for something, Rufino, R-U-F-F-I-N-O, the Rufino Moscato d'Asti. It's got high rankings and for Italian wines and stuff. It's got the DOCG, Asti DOCG region ranking in southern Italy and all that. So, sparkling wine, not just for holidays, for all the time. I'm reading more and more stuff about sparkling wines and how you can have that all the time and any time. It's something that's not just for special occasions. It's for all occasions. A couple of things, too. I haven't talked about it in a long time, but I want to bring up again. Haven't heard anything on the latest thing about any new laws being introduced. Remember, we were talking a lot about 1161, belong to really create a whole bunch of hassles about importing and shipping and all that for all wines and spirits and beers. Haven't heard anything about that being popped back up again on this session. It seems like all the senators and congressmen have and representatives have more important things to do of worrying about their reelection coming up in November than they do worrying about trying to control wines and spirits and beer, which, good, let them worry about that and leave the wines and spirits and beer alone. So if I do hear anything, I'll let everyone know. Also, haven't heard any suggestions for port and sherry or any of that stuff. We talked about that in previous episodes because we can no longer use it. We just talked to Tom, and Tom quoted, had different names for his port. And so he's already coming up with his own unique names. And I think, I hate to say it, but I think that's what's going to start happening is everyone's going to start having their own individual names. And we're not going to have any general consensus on what it's going to be called. I think it's just going to be a mishmash of whatever cute name someone can come up with that will serve the purpose of passing the COLA, the getting past the government TTB, and then familiarizing people around your area. This is my port, or this is my sherry, or whatever. So, but now, just, you know, some random thoughts tonight, some random things on that, and I'll stop there. Last week we talked about too. We talked about some properties that were for sale. If you didn't hear the program, if you're listening live, or if you didn't listen all the way to the end. I listed about 10 different properties that were for sale, one of them in Italy and then California and Colorado and, you know, different areas. So if you got yourself an extra million and a half, 2 million laying around, and you want to buy a vineyard or a property, get in touch with me. I will give you contact information.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember, though, the saying goes, know how to make a small fortune in the winery business? Start with a large fortune.
Okay. So I was going to say, I mean, we have all these people on there are saying, oh, yeah, I decided I didn't want to have time to myself anymore, so I got a winery going.
Yeah, and exactly.
So.
Exactly. That's really what it was. You know, put in 26 hours a day, you know, in the winery and, you know, stuff like that. That's,
yeah. And then here, Ron, the wine property broker, comes up and says, if you'd like to buy one and
a couple $1 million laying around, here, I've got them for you.
Yeah, that's right. And you will never have time for, you know, those annoyances again. Yep, there goes your vacation and everything. So you're
everything. But you could be a winery owner. Yeah. And then
that's true.
We can talk to you on the program.
That's right. That's right. Very good. And that's what we do. We talk to you and we talk to other people, and it's all about the topic. So that's good.
All about
one. And we've very interesting guests as well. So that's always good.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I guess we will close it down for the evening after we let people know about the Wine Fest coming up. That would be this coming Saturday, June the 9th. 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the weather, I'm not
Should
going to
be
mention.
Good.
You think so?
It's Friday, tomorrow rain, but hopefully it's going to be gone by Saturday.
Yeah, we'll hope. If worst comes to worst, bring an inflatable raft or canoe. You can always get there that way.
Just
and,
float out. Yeah, that's all it takes.
Yeah. You have boat parking.
Yes, we do.
People often ask, what in the heck is that for horses? No, it's for the boats.
No, that's boat parking.
I don't know. I mean, you're in a different location out there. You're out in the nice countryside, and, you know, definitely take a chance anyway. Come out and go to Winefest. It's always a great time there. And plus, you can have picnics and bring it's pet friendly and family friendly. That's a big thing, you know, because we talked to somebody a couple, 2-3 weeks ago that said, you know, we don't really let kids on some of our events. And
that's true.
You know, that's okay there. But definitely family friendly and, you know, no pressure or anything. It's great. So let's do that. And we'll be back in 1 minute and 15 seconds.
seconds. I think I played that one. Oh, we'll try this. I'll be back in a minute. Okay.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida State's Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flewn.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah. All right.
There you go. So be there Saturday. Be
yes.
there Saturday. There
be
you go.
There.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Next week we will have another show.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we're, I've had a gentleman that has been, well, actually the gentleman has been on the program many times with me. And, actually a couple times, Mike Wilson was on the program. And Mike has been the one that has been finding all these different people and all that on there. I greatly appreciate it, Mike, if you're listening mm-hmm. or if you hear this on archive. I greatly appreciate it. But I will be in touch with Mike and see if he has anyone else. If he doesn't, then we may be moving on to Rhode Island.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe leaving Pennsylvania. Although the last, 2.5 months we've been in Pennsylvania. Every time I've told people that came into the winery that we're in Pennsylvania, all of them are going, oh, wow, great, because everybody knows there and everybody knows. So it's good that
hopefully
way.
We'll get to, hopefully we can find some people from Rhode Island, because I don't picture Rhode Island as a big wine state. But then again, we had New Mexico. Who else? Arizona, places like that. And you're thinking, oh, really?
Yeah, really. Well,
how did that happen?
Rhode Island's not a big state, period. So
that's correct.
Yeah. So
been through it once.
Also,
I drove through it one time. I-95, I think, goes through there.
Yeah.
I think it was I-95 that drove through. Yeah, it's the quickest 15 minutes you'll ever be on an interstate through a state.
Oh, it doesn't take any time at all to go through. I went through there, too, going from Boston down to Washington, D.C., and it's like, we're in Rhode Island. Nope, we're not. You know, it's just,
yep, that's right. Look at the tree.
Yeah. I mean, there's little towns out west that are bigger than that. So, counties out west that are bigger than the state of Rhode Island. I want to talk to you sometime coming up over the next couple, 3 weeks, and here's some teasers because I don't know when it will be. But I want to talk about a thing I found here. The title is U.S. Geologist Challenge the Minerality versus Terror Theory. Might be interesting. Talking about the taste of the soil. A little short article here, but I do want to cover that and throw that out as a debate. Also, champagne. I mentioned it again today, but I want to go into it a little bit more, telling you some stuff. Since champagne is no longer can be used as champagne, sparkling wine, and I just want to tell you some stuff about that and cover that a little bit. So these are some teases for things coming up in the future here.
Very cool.
And then rosés, I also want to talk about that a little bit more too, because rosés are starting to become more and more popular, it seems, and particularly champagne, rosé champagnes are becoming very popular. I'm seeing more and more stuff written about it and talked about, so that should be good. So,
yeah, definitely. Things to look forward to this year on All About Wine.
That's right.
we'll get through Pennsylvania.
We'll get through eventually. Well, I'll check. Yes. I'll check and see if we have any more Pennsylvania. Yeah. Then, too bad we can't just jump on a plane and fly up there this weekend and attend that big festival they're having.
Oh, I know. Yeah. That would be cool. And do a live show. One of these days, who knows?
Yeah. Who knows?
All right. So I guess we will see. We'll see everybody on June 14th. We'll either be on Pennsylvania again, or we'll start on Rhode Island, and we'll probably be on Rhode Island for a brief time. But who knows?
Or the rest of the year. Who knows?
Yes. Who knows? I wasn't expecting Pennsylvania to go this far, but
it's been
guests
fun.
Yeah, definitely.
It's been a great time in Pennsylvania.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, we will see everybody on June 14th, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on All About Wine. I have the ending. Oh, you know what? I never did do the ending on this one.
Yeah, it's okay. Everybody can dance. I played it last week.
It's going to be a number one hit.
So
counting down, number two on the charts this week. We'll see you all next week right here on Blog Talk Radio / All About Wine. Thank you all for listening in the archives and for listening live if you're out there. And you ever need to comment or say something, ask a question for a future show, or you have an idea for a guest or a topic related to wine, email the show allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And love to take your questions there and read them on the air or, answer them personally, whichever. So do that, allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And, of course, you're always welcome to call the show live when we are on the air. If you're listening to us on iTunes or in the archives, we're not on live, so don't try to call. I'll be
or you can
2 minutes.
Facebook us.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah, Facebook. Go to facebook.com/ allaboutwinebtr. That's all one word, no spaces or anything. It's facebook.com/ allaboutwinebtr. Go there now. We're waiting. Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. We'll see. Take it easy. Have a good week.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show. And thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/ allaboutwinebtr. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75, take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for retail sales and wine tasting. Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Again, that's floridaestateswines.com. Be sure to subscribe to our informative bi-weekly newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.